The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Thursday, 19th day of July, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 30 points, S&P up 4, comp up 25, crude oil up $2.46 a barrel, gold up $16.20 an ounce. The chart in front of you is the S&P 500 E-mini futures. It is the hourly chart. If you're unable to see the chart, perhaps you are tuned in to simply the audio stream. If you would like to be able to see the charts, participate in the discussion, ask questions, then on the right-hand side of the homepage of CFRN, you'll see a little radio tower. Underneath that, a red, white, and blue button that says, click here. Click that, it'll take you to a page that says, watch live. Click that, follow the instructions, and you'll be in like Flynn. You only have to go through that process once a week. I suggest you do it on a Sunday night or a Monday morning. And then every day you get an email that says it's time for the show. Click here to join. And with one click, you're brought right in. And you're able to not only hear our voice, but to see whatever charts we're displaying at the same time. This is an hourly chart. And there's some rather unusual activity this week. Let me just show you what I mean. Right here, this weekly trading zone, 1370, 1371, Since price ran up and touched this area yesterday, it really has not been able to break away for 24 hours. Yes, we swung down a little bit and popped right back up, and then went sideways for about 8 to 10 hours. Then we swung up and came right back, and then we swung down and popped right back up to it. So it's like a center of gravity. There's some kind of magnetic force there. Price tries to pull away from it, snatched back. Tries to rally up. Pull. Just when I thought it was out, they pulled me back in. And again and again. Now over here, we saw the same thing. We saw consolidation around this 56-57 area. 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 hours. What's interesting is how we can stay, you know, within points of a zone for 23 hours or 24 plus hours. But yet, when the gates are opened, and don't ask me to define the gate, because I'm not the gatekeeper. But when the gate is opened, price can move from zone to zone in 1 hour. And it can make the trip back up in an hour. Here we see it made the trip in 3 hours. Okay. Now, let me just show you a quick look at last night. Not last night, but last week. Let me scroll it back. This is the blog. You can get to the blog from any page on the website by clicking Visit Our Blog. Try to make that one pretty simple. Okay, for those of you that weren't here last Friday, the interview with James Catullus, who is the attorney representing the victims of MF Global and PFG Best. That interview where he spoke out on those situations, as well as Mr. Jamie Dimon, it's available on the blog for you. Just go click the headphones, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Our live daily radio broadcast each and every day is turned into a podcast. It is available on our website, as well as on iTunes. Now, you can listen to the entire broadcast from last Friday, or you can listen to just the edited version right here by clicking here. The chart that I wanted to show you, here's Monday's chart, where we caught the low. Weekly trading zones go out to the partners on Monday morning before the market opens. Okay, so the 44.45 zone held. Here we have a glance at all of last week. Okay, from 7.9 through 7.13. Notice how price came down to the zone and held for a number of hours. This is an hourly chart. And then, see this big green candle? That's a one-hour trip up, where it then consolidates for a number of hours, back down. I didn't put a little highlight bar in there. We get about a three-hour consolidation in that area. We then drop back down to here. And then we end the week right at the weekly zone, 1352. Now, this move here was the move on Monday, the 17th. Let me correct. No, the move on Tuesday. Right there, Tuesday. Price comes up, hits the zone at 56.57. In 1 hour, it makes the trip back to 44.45. Hangs out for an hour, and then takes off. Got 11 points down, 11 points back up. And that 22-point round trip took place over the course of 3 hours. Okay. Now on, Tuesday night, we said, let's see what tomorrow brings, because this had been another zone-to-zone kind of day. And this is what yesterday brought. Another zone-to-zone kind of day. Okay, that was a 13-point move from zone to zone. And this is where we started that hanging out thing that has continued now for 24 hours. And last night's post was something that Michael talked about yesterday on the show, in that we fine-tuned some things in the live trading room. He's trading the S&P, crude, the NASDAQ, and he's literally doing it all with one setup. Okay. Now, many trading websites would have you believe that you've got to buy an expensive methodology and indicator set for each and every individual market. I disagree. The futures markets, and even the equity markets, they're an auction-style market, okay? So there are underlying principles that apply to each and every market. Are there little differences, nuances to each market? There is. But how important is that to you and the trade that you want to put on today? I'm going to say that the underlying principle is the far more important thing. And what we do in the live trading room embraces the underlying principle. So I answered my own question, can just one setup be used to successfully trade multiple markets? I say yes. We do it every single day in the live trading room. Just click apply. Come take the free trial. Watch us at work. Whatever your favorite market is, the Dow, corn, soybeans, silver, livestock, lumber, we'll show you a way to trade it that might make whatever else you're trying to do obsolete. And if you have a market you like to trade that we don't trade, that we haven't traded, bring it in. We'll give it a spin. We even did that this morning with the Looney. Is that correct, Michael?
That is correct.
Good afternoon, by the way.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Okay. Yes. All right. So that has covered that. The, I guess, big news this morning is that unemployment. What were the numbers, Michael? Do you remember?
I will tell you exactly what they were. The unemployment claims came in at 386,000. The consensus was 367,000, so that was higher than anticipated. All right, so we had, unfortunately, more people out of work, or more people left in unemployment anyway, than they had anticipated. As a matter of fact, all the news that came in today was bad. Everything was bad. Existing home sales, they're anticipating 4.64 million. They came in at 4.37 million. Sorry, the Philly Fed Manufacturing Index, they're expecting minus 7.9. That came in at minus 12.9. The CV Leading Index, they're anticipating minus 0.1%. That came in at minus 0.3%. Natural gas storage, they're expecting 34 billion. It came in at 28 billion. So that was pretty much everything today was bad news. And yet the market moves up. Go figure.
Bruce in the chat room makes a good point. For new folks, I think they need to recognize that they need to be capitalized appropriately to trade two or more markets at the same time. Yes. It's just like if you go to the store to buy 1 gallon of milk, you need X amount of dollars. If you want to buy 2 gallons of milk, then you need twice as much money. And overnight margins are more expensive than day margins. Bruce points that out as well in his post, and this is true. Now, we've talked a lot about how to avoid the more expensive overnight margins, and that is to close out your position before the closing bell let it rest for 15 minutes, re-enter the trade when the markets reopen. Now, I understand some of the arguments there will be, but the market could gap open higher or lower, and that's true, it could. Outside of earnings season, you won't see it happen that often. We are in earnings season right now. Some will also say, but I'll have to pay double commissions because I'm getting out and then I'm getting back in. That is true. But the difference in the amount of commission that are the amount of funds required in your account to hold a position overnight based on day margins as opposed to overnight margins is quite substantial. Michael, can you give us an example?
Sure. An example would be for the ES, it costs about $560 for a day margin and about $5,600 for an overnight margin.
Now, that can be avoided by closing the position for 15 minutes from 3:15 Central to 3:30 Central, because at 3:30 Central, that begins the next day's trading session. And so you're right back on day margins. So you have to weigh, if you have excess money in your account and the overnight margin is not a problem and you're, using a good stop, and then it's not an issue. If you're trading with a smaller account and you're not aware that the margins go up overnight, then this is a big wake-up call here for anyone who is new, because you might, have on a position and it looks good and you like it and you want it to go overnight and the market to close and you're pretty happy with things because it's looking pretty good. And then all of a sudden you get a margin call. Well, how could I have a margin call? I have, X dollars in my account. I'm only trading three contracts. Well, yeah, but overnight, because you held during that 15-minute period, you have to pay overnight margins, which is $15,000 as opposed to $1,500. It's not that you have to pay that, but you have to have that balance in your account. So if you have any questions about that, or you need a better understanding of it, or you want to know the exact numbers for each market, whatever market it is that you trade, call Bert and Leslie toll free 866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. And if you're paying, Michael, what's the most anyone should be paying for a round trip trade on the ES?
I would say $6 would be the most anybody should pay. The rates are negotiable, so I would say if you're paying more than $6, then definitely give Bert and Leslie a call negotiate a better rate with your broker.
It was brought to our attention that some of the folks that we keep company with were paying substantially higher margins, and you may be because you just didn't know, and you might have been told that, those lower prices, that's a discount broker, and you don't really get any service, and that's not true, because with Bert and Leslie, you get the best customer service that I believe you're going to find anywhere in the world of trading. These guys will go out of their way to do whatever they can to help you be successful as a trader. And the firm Daniels Trading, they go the extra mile too, because they actually make an investment in your success. They pay for your charts, they pay for your data, your platform, everything, so that you can actually focus on the trading. If you haven't taken the free trial, you absolutely, positively need to do that. If for no other reason, then you can say you've had the experience. Those guys went on and on about how great it was. You'll always wonder, could it have made a difference? To begin the free trial, it's as simple as going to cfrn.net /apply. Once you get there, we only ask you for two things, your name and your email address. We then send you a confirmation email, and you have to click the link in the confirmation email. If you don't click the link in the confirmation email, the free trial never starts. Once you've confirmed, we send you out everything you need to get started. We send you an email with the link and the password to the live trading room. You get the link to go and download the platform, to get your charts installed, to get your data flowing, to get the indicators installed. You have all the phone numbers and email addresses for Bert and Leslie and Michael and myself to make sure that you get your data flowing and your indicators indicating and that you're able to fully take advantage of your 5-day free trial. And it is absolutely free. No credit card required. No hard sell involved. We simply let you come in and use all of our tools for a full week. So at the end of a week, you can make an intelligent decision as to whether or not what we have to offer is right for you. With that, I'll give it to you one more time, cfrn.net/apply. Oh, one other bonus that I forgot to mention. If you take advantage of the free trial, not only will you get everything that I just mentioned, you also get absolutely free a 30-minute telephone consultation with the trading coach, Robin Dane, who will be on the show with us here momentarily, as she is almost every day. Now that is a good deal. And with that, Michael, I'll go ahead and pass it over to you. We're approaching the high of the day here, and I'll let you get into the recap.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Let me grab these charts. Here we go.
Brad, that price, it's all in. That includes everything. All right, the $6 round turn. If you're paying more than $6 round turn, you're either in a managed account, you know, where they're doing it for you, or they're doing a lot of assistance for you, or if it's a self-directed account, then you shouldn't be paying any more than $6. Okay, I just want to clarify with that. There are different types of accounts, and for some accounts you do have to pay more, but for the majority of the accounts, you know, if you're a CFRN partner and you're using our stuff, you're pretty much self-directed. You know, it's a discretionary account. And the fees on that should be no more than $6 round turn. Well, for the ES anyway. It depends on what exchange you're trading on. Some of them are going to be a little higher than that, but the majority of them should be less. Okay. Let's see, I'm going to start my recording. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 17th, 2012. Let me start right out with the results, okay? We are break-even on the ES. Break-even on the ES. We are up a little on the NQ. We are up on the YM. We are just about break-even on the crude. We got minus one tick there because we slipped a little bit. And that was it, right? ES, NQ, YM, and the crude. That is it. Those are the results of the morning. Now, let me go over the trades that we took and that we didn't take and all that. On the ES, I'll start right out with that, okay, because everybody likes the ES. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people like the ES anyway. You can see it in the liquidity of the actual market. Aption, that number that I just said, less than $6 should be all you'd be paying. Six or under. Okay. Alright. Right here. We have a weekly trading zone right here, that one that Dwayne was talking about. Okay, we had a bearish cross pull back up to it. I wasn't gonna short right into it, but right there was the spot to do it. We had something else going on right there as well. Right there we had a bearish cross and a pierce of a red envelope, which is bearish, by a green trend strength line. Alright, that suggested at this point that it was going to move 5 to 6 points down. It actually only moved 4 points down. Right? It had suggested, well, it pierced it here. No, somewhere in this bar right here. It pierced it, we'll say 70, and it suggested it was going to move down to 65. It only got down to 66. All right. After that, it pulled back up right here, and we took this short, and it stopped us out to the tick right here. It stopped us out to the tick, and then it went on down here to this area right here. That was plus 1.5 from my entry. All right, plus 1.75 from some other guys' entries, but plus 1.5 from mine. From there, it went back up through the weekly trading zone, and we got long right here, right at the end of the morning session. Okay. Now, this was a two-point stop out, and on this one right here, we had a two-point target. Now, worth noting, and I pointed this out in the room this morning, right here we had a pierce of the envelope, and the pierce of that envelope was right in here, we'll say at 70. So that suggested it should get up to 75 to 76, okay? And I told the folks when we entered into this trade over here, I got in, I believe I was in at 70 and 71 and a quarter, something like that. Where was I in at? 71 and a quarter, I think I was in on this one. And I took profit up here, okay, with 2 points profit. All right, I had a two-point stop. It went within a tick of my profit target right there. Then it pulled back down. Then it went back up. And I took profit right there, okay? But I had suggested to everyone at this point, because of the pierce right here, it should get up to 75 or 76. And you see it just got up to 76, okay? This pierce of the envelope right here gives you some range so you can base your next trade profit target on that. All right, like over here, we thought it was going to get down to 65, 64. It dropped all the way down to 66. If this one had gone down and not stopped me out, I would have been looking for that. All right, I would have been looking for it to get down here to 64. But it stopped me out to the tick. This one over here, you know, I put the long on right at the end of the morning session, and I just let it go. Okay? And I came back, and we actually went through the profit target right here while Dwayne was speaking. Okay? Oops. Hang on. I don't see who that is. Okay. And that was our ES trade this morning. All right? That was the ES this morning. Now, if we come over here and we look at the crude, there were quite a few opportunities on the crude this morning. I didn't take all that many. I took a few. All right? Let's see. We started out here. I missed this first trade here. Now, what we're looking for in the crude, now watch, as we go across all these different markets, it's a four-tick range. We're going to be doing the same exact setup with the same indicator set on all three of these, on all the next three markets that I show you here. All right, we're going to go from crude to the YM to the NQ. Right here, we had a bullish cross with a pullback down to the BBC with bullish divergence, okay? The divergence is when the green line is headed down and the red and blue portion down here in the slingshot, which is a cycle, when that's heading up, all right? So what you expect is it's going to find some area of support, which is the BBC, the green line. And once it does that and it starts moving in the direction of the cycle, then you want to get long. So an up close is what you're looking for. Right there was the entry, and up it went, okay? It got kind of mixed up in here. The MA1 was on the top side of the BBC, and the divergence was bearish. It turned around in here. We had a cross down below the BBC, suggesting to start looking for shorts. Now, I don't want to confuse people, but everybody that was in the partners meeting last week, you see how you could have entered that right here, right there, okay? For the ride all the way down. But for everyone else, I pulled back up to the BBC right here, gave a down close. We had some bearish divergence at the time. I took the short. It stopped me out for minus 8 ticks. Okay. The next trade was over here. We had a bullish cross suggesting we'd start looking for longs. Pull back and test to the BBC. Sorry. We had bullish divergence right here, looking for the up close. There's the up close and it went up. There was another opportunity right here where it pulled back to the BBC and gave the up close, and another one over here where it pulled back to BBC and gave the up close. Any one of those right there, guys, you could have gone long, okay, and it would have been a valid trade setup. Or all of them, for that matter. You could have gone long, and it would have been a valid trade setup. Over here, on the other side, we had the bearish cross. Right here, we had a bearish cross, and price dragged the MA1 down below the BBC. It pulled back up to it, tested it, and it gave a down close. I shorted there, and I took some profit down here. All right. It flipped around, and over here, we had bullish divergence with a bullish cross. Came down, tested the BBC, gave an up close, and I took that long trade there and took some profit. Over here, I took a long trade again, and I stopped out on that one. Now, right here, we're getting into the break. We had some bullish divergence right here. All right, bullish cross, tested the BBC, up close with bullish divergence. Same thing here. Tested the BBC with an up close and bullish divergence. Now, over here, the divergence is going away. You see the cycle is going against you, so there's no trade in there. And then we start getting into the afternoon section, right? Session right here. This is when Dwayne was talking right here a few minutes ago. We had a bearish cross, tested the BBC with a down close, and we had the bearish divergence down here. Okay? This right here, this thing right here, I'm pointing this out. Part because, well, for the partners that were in the meeting last week, you know why I pointed this out. You could have entered the trade right here for the move up. For everyone else, you didn't get a pullback until over here. By then, you were starting to lose the divergence down here. So I wouldn't have traded that right there. What we have going on right now, we have a bearish cross. We have bearish divergence. We need a test of the BBC with a down close. Okay, that's what we'd be looking for right now on the crude oil chart. Note that we rolled to September crude this morning. Okay, this is September crude. All right, so I did the ES, I did the crude. Now I have the YM and the NQ. Okay, let me show you the. This is the NQ. Now we're up a couple of ticks on the NQ right now. You know, 5 ticks I think on the NQ, right? Let's see. The market started right here. We had bullish divergence. Tested the BBC with an up close. You see the same indicator set, same exact trade setup, the same everything. Different market, but the same everything. And this is what we talked about yesterday. All right, tested the BBC with an up close, and it went up. Again, right here, tested the BBC with an up close, and it went up. I actually took that trade. Tested the BBC in a down close, and it went down. Here we have a test of the BBC, but we don't have any divergence. Here we have a test of the BBC with the bearish divergence. This was right on in a high-impact news event, so I wasn't doing anything in here. That's why you don't see it highlighted. But the trade setup was there, okay? Now in here, you might say, well, there's bearish divergence and it tested the BBC and gave a down close, but we had too many closes above the BBC. Even though it worked out, I didn't like the trade. Now I'd like it to really be like this. This is more what the ideal trade would be like, okay? You have the bullish cross, it tested the BBC with an up close. It doesn't close too many times below there, below the BBC, okay? You have the bullish divergence and up. And there was one right here that didn't go anywhere. You know, at this point, I'm not sure why I wasn't. I might have been in a... that didn't actually test the BBC until the cycle was totally against it. It gave the up close over here, and the cycle was too far against it. I was saying I must have been in a trade at the time. That's why I didn't do that. But it didn't do it because it didn't meet the requirements. All right, bearish cross, test of the BBC, down close. Again, right here, the cycle's moving up a little bit right there, but you still have the bearish divergence with the down close. You know, if you had 8 ticks risk on this, you were still in it for this move down right here. Okay. I had circled this, but the cycle was going up too much. I had circled it when before the cycle started moving up against it. Now, right here, you had bullish divergence, tested the BBC with an up close. Again, right here, you had bullish divergence with the test of the BBC and an up close. That one didn't go very far, 3 or 4 ticks at most. Let's see. Scrolling over, there were a couple more in here right at the end. Right now, you can see the cycle portion of the slingshot is headed down too far to be going long right here. Okay, so you wouldn't be looking at that. That was the NQ. Now, you saw that we had the same exact indicator set and we're doing the same thing on the crude and on the NQ. Now let me throw up the YM here, and you'll see the same thing there too. Okay. Let's see, the market opened up right here. All right. We had bullish divergence here. We had a bullish cross, but we had too many closes down below the BBC to go long on the up close, so we waited. We didn't do anything there or there or there. Here all these arrows are backwards. Here we had bearish divergence, and it tested the BBC with a down close right here as well. Now I'm thinking, let me look at the larger time frame here for just a second. It's at 60.65. I'm just going to put that on here, okay? 65 and 60. Now we have a weekly trading zone right there. That's why I wasn't looking to get short in a lot of these places. You can see it was going right into the zone. But over here, for those of you who were in the partners meeting last week, you could see a couple of places in here where you could have gotten short. One was right there. Another one, oh, I should, hang on, let me just, give me just a second. I'm trying to use the thing that's on my, there you go. One was right there. Over here, it would have been up here. Okay, when this green line turned down, when the brown was below a strong sloping cycle, you could have gotten in right there. The stuff that I'm talking about right now, for everybody who's listening, you don't need anything on price. You don't even need to look at price. I had actually traded it last Friday when price was like that. I traded it strictly from the slingshot. Okay? I did that on crude. I didn't do it on the YM, but it transfers to YM. Okay? But there was an opportunity right here. Bearish cross, tested the BBC, down close, and there it went. Okay? Right in here, there was nothing because it was going right into the zone. In here, it got choppy at the zone. In here, we didn't have a pull away from the BBC, so we didn't end up with a trade there because it didn't pull away. All right. Right in here, the cycle was moving down, so we didn't look for anything there. Here, again, it was going into the weekly trading zone. We had a lot of issues here with it going into the zone. Right here, I shorted right here, and it went right up into the zone. Okay, so I lost on this one. The cycle was moving up against me when I took the short. So it wasn't the optimal trade, but I took it anyway, and I lost 8 ticks on that. And over here, I put a couple of contracts on, and I got, you know, my 8 ticks and then some back over here. Okay, when it tested the BBC and gave an up close, then I got right back in the money there. Okay, let's see, it got really choppy in here, and we didn't have any trades, and that's pretty much it. Right now, you can see we have a bearish cross. And we don't have any divergence yet. But if it were to pull up and test the BBC and give a down close, that would probably give us a short indication because we would probably get some divergence with that pullback. Okay? Now that is how you trade all those markets using the same exact trade setup, using the same exact indicator set. You can do it on the same time frame. You can change time frames. You can do whatever you want to do with it. All right? I don't see any questions in here that I haven't answered, I think. So that's it. I'm going to wrap up my recording right now. There, recording is off. So we don't have to hang David out too long today. And I think Robin's in the house today too. So if we want to head out there, let's see.
Okay, partners meeting tonight, guys. Partners meeting tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. Be there, be square, blah, blah. Come with your questions. Come prepared. Your issues, your struggles, your triumphs, whatever they are. As much as we want to help you work through whatever you're dealing with, as part of the community, part of your commitment is to come with your triumphs, your success, your discoveries, and to share those with the group. It's a two-way street. That's what makes us a community of believers who trade for a living. So, calling on you to do your part. If you're on the free trial, and your free trial is expiring, in order to be in the partners meeting, you must, in fact, be a partner. That's why it's called a partners meeting. Now, on the free trial, you get everything we have to offer. The data, the charts, the indicators, the methodology, the free session with the trading coach, Robin Dane. You get everything. The only thing you don't get is access to our 175 hours of training videos or the partners meeting. Okay? But for a week, you get everything else. So if your week is expiring and you're ready to get on with this thing, okay, then you need to send an email to support@cfrn.net. That's support@cfrn.net. There's still time today. We can get the paperwork over to you. You can get it filled out, get it back to us, and we can actually have you in the partners meeting tonight. But you have to move quick, okay? And with that, we will take ourselves right on out to Las Vegas, Nevada, and chat with our good friend, Mr. David Williams, from PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, sir.
And good morning, Michael. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, dear. It's a pleasure to be here today. Summertime, beautiful weather, girls running around in clothes that practically might not even be considered clothes in some cities, especially out here in Las Vegas. Just saying. Weather's nice.
They run around like that all year out there.
They do. We it's just something about Las Vegas brings it out in people. But, no, it's just very pretty. It's very beautiful out here. It's a nice time of year. It's awfully hot, same as in many places. The whole country is wrapped up in some pretty good heat right now. Don't they have a drought somewhere? I thought I saw on the news some Midwest area is in drought. Either way, it's pretty. It's a little brutal, you know, in terms of heat. You got to get used to it, but we have excellent air conditioning out here in Las Vegas, and if you go into any of the casinos, you won't even know it's 113 out. You'll hardly know it's 113 out.
Unless you look out the window and you see the people collapsing in the streets.
Yeah, but there are really no windows.
Yeah, they don't really have windows. That's true, yeah.
They don't have windows. They kind of enclose you and... they don't have any way of you knowing what time it is or any of that. The hours just while right on by.
I mean, that is just so...
I know.
The fact that they don't even put a clock on the wall, I mean...
Listen, I'd like to do...
And that has held, that has stood the test of time. It's not
like
some entrepreneur came blowing in and go, you know what, I want to build a casino and I'm going to put in clocks. Nope, ain't nobody ever broken that golden rule of Vegas.
Nobody's broken that golden rule of Vegas, and one of the things I'd like to do sometime is maybe spend 2 weeks with a video camera and video what it looks like just at a locals casino. There's a locals casino nearby here called Palace Station, and I learned that this happens only because my own mother for a while was going to Palace Station to gamble, because there's not a whole lot more you can do in a casino. And what happens around 4:30, 5 in the afternoon is that a bunch of people drive up and they're all in various states of health. These are elderly people
either with walkers, canes, wheelchairs, you name it. And they're all lurching towards the casino from the parking lot. It's quite a sight. And I was thinking at one point of making a video of that and sort of putting it all together in one long string so you could see 2 weeks of it. It looks like something out of Night of the Living Dead, to be quite honest with you. And so when I used to take my mom to the casino, I would drive her up there, drop her off, and it would be around 4:30 or 5. And that's when I started to look around and realized, wow, this looks like something out of Night of the Living Dead. These people are just lurching towards me. They're really lurching towards the casino. But you'd have to be there to really get the full impact of it. But, you know, it is what it is. There's not a lot to do in Las Vegas. They're trying to improve that. They're trying to bring some culture to Las Vegas. Downtown is starting to pick up. There really is something happening downtown now. There really is. They've tried to start it for many years, but there really are some entrepreneurs down there. You know, people that rely entirely on the government to make their business succeed, if you listen to the president. But these guys have some really innovative ideas and some real good risk-taking that they're taking in downtown Las Vegas. Downtown's not a pretty area.
Well, it's not.
It's not a pretty area.
Good Lord, don't look at the sidewalk.
Yeah.
It'll curl
but
your hair.
But they're really doing something down there. It started out with the Arts District, which is now called the Arts District. I mean, there was really a arts area where people would, you know, art stores and other things started, something with some cultural feel to it. And then it actually now is called by the city the Arts District. And now in the Arts District, there's a number of entrepreneurs that are really, you know, taking their own hard-earned savings, their own effort, their own, you know, chutzpah, and they're putting it to work. And it actually is starting to work downtown. It's really pretty amazing. So it just goes to show you can really, you know, downtown has had its run as a completely sleazeball place in Las Vegas. And it really is and has been a complete sleazeball place. But over the last several years, it has made some dramatic changes. And now with the Arts District and these entrepreneurs that are opening up these really hip and cool and edgy things, shops and this and that, it's really changing. And I'm really happy to see that. This again goes back to, you know, the fact that our administration, these people, they don't know what it's like to open a business and what it takes and the vision that you have to have and the risk taking and dealing with the day-to-day issues. And yes, Mr. President, they had to drive on roads to get to their building. You know, thank you. But what he was really saying was that, you know, it's government is good, business is sort of second to that, and we all know that what drives this entire economy, including your government, Mr. Barack Obama, since you don't earn money, you get it from taxpayers who either work for entrepreneurs or are entrepreneurs. The, you know, the chicken, the egg thing. Government didn't come first. In order to have the government, you had to be able to get money. And you got that from people who had a business. I mean, it's sort of like the chicken and egg thing. So I'll tell you, this administration is a witch's brew, seriously, a cauldron of glaring contradictions. You know, you've got Mitt Romney out there who's the presidential candidate. He has a history of running successful company after company. He's made millions of dollars for himself, stockholders. He's employed thousands upon thousands of Americans with companies like, you know, what are some of his companies? Dunkin' Donuts, Staples,
and
so on. Yeah. The president, on the other hand, has a history of running the economy into the ground, has nearly 400,000 people a week file for unemployment in the last 42 months, and has accumulated the largest deficit in the history of the United States, and yet he's going all over the country with big TV commercials questioning Mitt Romney's business experience. I mean,
okay,
what a contradiction that is.
All right, well, we're going to talk about the president today, but we're going to talk about it in a little different vein.
All right.
All right. Okay, now I know you're not a big TV guy, David. Correct?
I just don't have the time. I suppose if I worked for the government, I'd have plenty of time. You know, government worker, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? If there ever was one.
I have a neighbor. I walk her dog because she has a bad hip, the neighbor, not the dog. And I was talking to her yesterday. She goes, you know, some days I come home and I feel guilty. I go, why? She goes, because I make really good money and I do absolutely nothing all day at work.
Right.
She goes, I've mostly been working on, you know, getting some old tax work done. And she said, I don't know. What should I do? I guess you could revolt and refuse to take a paycheck, or you could get a broom and go sweep somewhere, or I don't know. But if this is just, you know, in fact, I know one government worker right now in my circle of existence. I know one person that comes to mind that works for the government. And if that one person is telling me that that's their story, that's 100%. Now, I'm not saying 100% of government workers have no work to do. I'm sure plenty of them have. In fact, no, I take that back, because I do know other government workers, like our social worker for the CPS, the foster kid lady, I'm trying to think of her official term, social worker, I guess, case manager, that's what it is. Okay, now here's a government worker who is at a low end of a pay scale, not like my neighbor who's at a very high end of a pay scale. She has like 50 cases at any given time that she's got to watch, monitor, maintain, visit, you know, go to all the court hearings, coordinate all the medical, the dental, the guardian ad litems. I mean, now here's a government employee that really works hard for the money, okay? So I don't want to make a, you know, statement, a grand sweeping statement that says all government workers aren't earning their money, because a lot of them are. But if, you know, somebody that I know, there's just a lot of that, okay? So anyway, but my thing about talking about the president in a different light, now, I'm the guy who tends to never, or not never, but often, I don't watch the popular television programs when they're popular, like Seinfeld and Friends, prime examples. When they were on TV, prime time, and everyone was raving about it and talking about it at the water cooler and freaking out and blah, 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 I refused to watch it. Just out of some, I don't know, it was like, nah, yeah, if everybody else thinks it's that great, then I don't even want to watch it. I didn't start watching them till after the fact, and I found out that they were really pretty funny shows, you know, and I really enjoyed them. And I've seen most of the episodes at this point more than once. Now, there was a television phenomenon that swept the nation some years ago. I'm not sure how many years it's been around, but it's called 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. Is there anyone in the listening audience that has ever watched the television program 24? Okay, I get one yes out of a room this big. Okay, all right, here we go. Now they're pouring in. Okay, seen them all, yes, yeah. Okay, how many years is this, did somebody tell me how many years this 24, this phenomena has been on TV? Has it been on for like 4 or 5 years or... Okay, no one seems to know exactly. 8 years. Oh, my goodness, I had no idea. Okay, I had never watched an episode until the other day. And here I go with my Netflix kick again, because I'm cramming, or my wife and I, we're cramming like 8 years of this program into, well, I mean, we're only partially way through it, but over the course of a week or 2 weeks, we will have seen 8 years. It's like going to the movie theater and just staying there for 2 weeks and watching this thing unfold, it's a much different experience than having to wait from week to week and talk about it and discuss and, oh my goodness, what's going to happen next. It's kind of like crack in a way, because you watch an episode and instead of having to wait a week, you can just hit the button and go, oh, give me another hit, you know. And because it is really a, it's quite a fascinating show, and it's really well done, and I can see why people loved it so much and why it was so popular, and it was a phenomena, blah, blah, blah. Now, on the television program, they have a black president, okay? Now, this man does not in any way at all remind me of our current president, Barack Obama. But let me ask you, 24 fans. The president's wife on the television program, 24. Is that not Michelle Obama? Or is it just me? Am I imagining this in my head? Or is that Michelle Obama? Apparently, it's in my head.
Again, Wayne, I could
Robin, your mic's on if you want to weigh in here.
No one cares, Dwayne.
Good morning, everybody. I need for you to repeat the question.
Which part? Which part did you miss?
On the Michelle Obama part.
The president's wife on 24... or at least the president's wife on 24 the first couple years. See, because it's an eight-year show, and we're only up through, I think, the second year, which is interesting because it's the second season, but it's only the second day of the series, because each show lasts 1 hour, and each show covers a 24-hour period in the life of our country. Very clever the way they did this. And so when you go through an entire season, only one day has passed. Yeah, I know. It's a unique concept. So nobody out there has any comment on the president's wife on 24. Because when I look at her, when I listen to her, when she talks, and my wife just typed in, yes, I imagine her to be exactly that way. Okay, we're going to use the C and the M word, controlling and manipulating. So, I don't know. To me, it's just when I look at the screen, that's who I see. That's who I hear. Charles, I can't say that on the air. Oh, okay, now, we're on a different year, though, because Jack retired after his wife was killed and was asked to come back to help the nuclear situation. Yeah, but I'm talking about the president's wife. Oh, that's right. In the first year, he was running for president. Now we're in the second year, he actually is the president. But same thing. But if this thing's been on 8 years, some of you may not even know who I'm talking about. All right, so there ends our presidential discussion for the day. Let's move on to the markets.
Well, there you are.
I don't remember the president's wife. Guys, go. I beseech you, my brethren, fire up the Netflix tonight and go watch season one and season two of 24. And then you'll come back tomorrow and go, oh, man. Because it's almost like this was a predict. It was almost like this show predicted the future. So anyway, all right, Robin, how are you?
It's a good day.
Thought you'd come in here bail me out on this whole 24 hole I dug, but
Now you know how I feel when I ask them for emotional questions.
And they all just sit at their desk and weep and won't say anything.
That's right.
Well, we men, we don't deal with our emotions the same way that women do.
I know. You deny them, and yet they're there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if somebody says to me, oh, men are not emotional, let me tell you, I've done so many coaching calls, and let me tell you, men are emotional. I will defy that to any woman and defend you because they are very emotional. Mm-hmm. Some show it in a different way. Some say they don't have emotions, and yet, you know, they react in a different way. But I find that men are very emotional. And I think when they're confronted with it in the markets, it's kind of interesting because they don't have a choice. I mean, it's there. You know, it's just right in front of them, and it's there. And I think they begin to realize over time that they are very emotional. Mm-hmm. They just don't express it in the same way that women do.
Well, you know, something I'd like to say about that is most, I think a lot of men are perhaps a little afraid of their own emotionality, their potential for feeling emotion, where women are very comfortable in the whole world of emotion. You know, their emotions are very, very close to them. They're friendly with them. But men, at least in my life and others, I think it would be fair to say that, at least for me, that men are somewhat afraid of their own potential emotions, etc. But one thing I'd like to say to men is that every powerful thing you do is based upon emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So you are emotional. Men are empire builders, and it takes quite a bit of steam to build up the energy to build an empire. Whatever that empire is, the empire could be, you know, a home for your family. An empire could be a huge business. It could be anything. But men have that in them. But that comes. You source that out of emotion. And so there's a very powerful river that runs through. And I think men are less comfortable with their emotions than women are. And yet men have very, very powerful
emotions. You know, it's funny that you say it in that way, because the men that you see that are powerful, although Bill Gates, I'm going to say I've even seen a Bill Gates emotional. When you have a strong passion for something, you can succeed tremendous things. So maybe the combination is, if you tap into your emotions and your passions, then you can be more successful. Maybe that's part of the key. Mm-hmm. And not to hold them back in some cases.
Yeah,
And learn to manage them.
I agree. I think, and we'll get right onto the markets, but I just want to say this for what it's worth. I think most men are frightened to death of fear. And just that fear is not a comfortable emotion for them. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to run into it. And I think we spend our lives in many ways making sure that we don't have to bump into fear. And, you know, we'll go out and learn to fight because not just because we want to beat somebody up, but because we don't want to be afraid. We don't like the idea. We don't like fear. And fear isn't a pleasant emotion. I mean, there's nothing wrong with not liking it. But I would submit that there's a lot more emotion to the average man than he would know about, and that he's persuaded and pushed around by emotional forces in him. Some people like to think of themselves as very cool, calm, and collected, but the more cool and calm and collected sometimes people are, the more explosive they are when something goes wrong. You know, you've all known people that are like that. You know, great guy, everything's fine, but then if something really goes wrong, boy, they just explode because it's in there. And they're holding it back, and it's much better life to let it flow and to move with it and to understand that it is a part of life. It's a God-given thing to feel powerful emotions. And positive emotions can take you all the way through life. And some people have learned, we all know them, some people have learned to reverse the polarity where they only feel good when they feel bad. They're only happy when they're sad. They're only excited or whatever when they're mad. And they've flipped it all around because negative energy gives you a high. Negative energy is the crack cocaine of the emotional world. And there are people who get addicted to negative energy. So rather than have to deal with anything else, they just stay in the negative and look at everything through that. And listen, you know, there you are. You know, that's, no one can make you change. I'll tell you something. Maybe you think this is true, maybe you don't, but God himself can't change you. Only you can make a decision to, if you don't want to change, nothing can change you. Nothing can break you out of that. You have to suddenly realize that you're doing this. You're causing this. You can stop it. You've been given a power that you might not be using, the power to both start trouble in your life and the power to end trouble in your life. And if you want to feel a very powerful emotion, a God-given emotion, you'll feel it when you suddenly realize that you also have the power to end the trouble in your life. And now you're working on the side that can supercharge your life and zip you right down the road because you're not getting in your own way and so on. So I don't mean to say that God can't change a human being, but the human being has to agree to it. He has to allow something else to come into his life. And when that happens...
There has to be a change of heart. The man has to open the door and be willing to change, to be willing to accept. God forces himself on no man. I honestly believe that. And I know people in the audience, some are going, well, we can argue about that. And, you know, but I'm just going to say that, well, that's, I already said what I believe.
Yeah, you have to make the first step. You make the first step, and then it's matched.
I did not Google this before I asked the question. But now that I have, is Sherry Palmer Michelle Obama? The stratosphere. Sherry Palmer or Michelle Obama or one and the same? Strange Culture Blog, The Palmers and the Obamas, Sherry and Michelle. You got to wonder if Obama's ever watched that first season of 24. The black president on 24 says he paved Obama's way. He made it possible for Obama to get elected. The Sherry Palmerization of Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama as Sherry Palmer. People Magazine. Michelle Obama is no Sherry Palmer. Okay. Michelle Obama is Sherry Palmer. Michelle Obama equals Sherry Palmer. Sherry Palmer.
Oh, the internet's wonderful, isn't
Barack
it?
Barack Obama. Positively Barack. In fact, it appears that Michelle Obama interviewed in Glamour magazine. One comment said she's Sherry Palmer. Interesting. Okay, at least now I know I'm not the only one that it occurred to that one was patterned after the other. So... Go watch it, guys, with that thought in your mind, and you'll go, that's odd. Okay. All right.
Well, there you go. So we'll get on to the markets here. Just one thing I want to just finish with that last statement is that for the men, and this includes myself, of course, but let's not live our whole lives pushing away a God-given force in us that can do wonderful things for you just because you're afraid of what other people might think, whether you feel strong emotions that are very positive or, you know, compassion or some other feeling that you shouldn't feel, sadness or whatever, because there's quite a... This is where all your energy comes from. This is really the source of your love of life, your source of your happiness, the source of everything is the emotional side of man. And you can squeeze it all down and push it all out and have a little sliver of it left and say, I'm living good. But that's, you're living on, you know, the poor street if you're doing that. There's wonderful, intense things that can move you in dramatic ways in your life through emotion. So don't be afraid of what you've been given and don't keep repressing it. I've done it, many people do it, and, allow yourself the freedom to come in contact, in direct contact with yourself. Practice, you know, if you can, allowing that, because you'll find that every good thing in your life has been motivated by emotion. Emotion is the very core. It's the very thing that makes you motivated to do the things that you do. And there's much more of it there, and there's much more power there, therefore. So don't be afraid of it, even though it is scary.
And I appreciate you bringing up that topic, because it's not a topic I would bring up. But it's because I tend to stay away from that, because men don't like to talk about it. So I appreciate you bringing that up. I didn't pay David to say that. And,
and I could charge you 25.
He's very right on with it, as far as what you will get more than you ever thought you could get.
Right.
From letting yourself just be who you naturally are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Women love men that have emotions.
Yeah. This is why one of the reasons why women are attracted to gay men is because gay men are very in touch with their emotions, and women find that very attractive. Have you noticed that women just will flock around gay men and talk with them and have the greatest little time? It's primarily because they're in touch with their emotions. I hear music in the background.
I do too.
There we go. I'm feeling it now.
I'll cry me a river that flows to your ocean. What a great lyric.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees. The boys the with Bee Gees. The quivering voices.
There you are. Okay, so let's get on to the markets. We'll take a look at today's S&P, and then we'll move on to the various different markets. Let's see what we can get out of this. We've had a pretty quiet day today, but we are up. And yesterday we talked about the market testing the 1375.76, which was a likely, wasn't a forecast, but was just likely that they would do that and make a new high into the 19th, July 19th.
Because we've had a quiet 24 hours here.
I'm sorry?
We've had an entire quiet 24-hour period here.
We really have. We have definitely had a quiet 24-hour period. Today's session has, although we've done something important today, it still is very quiet, by going up and testing the 75 and 76 level. Whole thing's been quiet. The market is, as we talked about yesterday, at a critical juncture now on the upside. Why is it at a critical juncture? Because July 19th is, for us, the next important top in the market. If today and tomorrow, Friday, close below the 1375, 1376 level, that leaves the market in a much more vulnerable position for an important multi-day decline. And under normal conditions, the last reflected wave bottom, which was July 11th and 12th, came in on the 12th, would normally be finished off, this advance, by this reflected wave top on July 19th. Now, if they do break out, somebody asked a question yesterday, which is fair enough, because we talked about the weekly top that was due on the week of July 2nd. So we're in July. We're not that far back, which is just a couple weeks back. July 2nd was an important weekly top. So the market has had about a 57-point-some-odd-point move down from that weekly top, and here we are right away testing that top again. So a weekly close tomorrow above 76 would also be very important. So a lot of things, that's why we're at a critical juncture, because there's a lot of things coming together. We're testing an important reflected wave weekly top, and we're also putting in the on-time day for a reflected wave daily top. So we want to watch this and trade accordingly. If the market confirms, there will be plenty of move to trade on the downside. And if we break through this level up here, because the weekly chart plays a part in this. This isn't just an ordinary single level turn, like from just one chart. This actually has more things going on. It could change the outlook of the market dramatically here. So we do want to watch that. And so we're testing right now as we speak. We've been testing the 75 and 76 level. We're down at 73 now, but just a few minutes ago we were testing that. So let's see how they handle it here. This is not unusual. Anything that they've done today, everything they've done today has been normal. Nothing, I haven't seen anything unusual in today's behavior. They've done what they normally do. They've gone up, tested the old high, and, you know, we have levels above here that if they break out, because we have both today and tomorrow, one of which, is pretty much above here, which is, one of them is up at 1389, which is an important target on the upside. We're talking about the market moving then from approximately, you know, the breakout, if we did have one, from 77, 76, 77 up to the 89 level. Confirmed breakout would be the kind that we would want. We wouldn't want to just trade a spike of the 76 level. So we'll see. Let's let them cook here a little bit. I don't have much more than that other than, you know, there have been minor tops and bottoms that have been made today. The market's really quiet, and this type of quiet behavior, you can make some money in it. There's no question you can. But, you know, you might have to be in the market for a number of hours to get a decent move out of it. And then once in a while today, they've moved decently in a relatively short period of time. So there are some trade opportunities, I think, today in the market here. I don't have a lot to add to that because this is, that all by itself for us is a lot, the point that we are at in the market here. So we'll get back to this. I do want to review it before we get through with any of the other markets today. So we'll flip over. Let's make our rounds of a few of these other markets here. You know, gold, again, it's been very range-bound since the week of May 14th, which itself was a weekly bottom for gold, and it continues to be, you know, we're up today, which is nice to see. But I don't have anything real importance today. I do want to say, though, as we get into next week around July 24th, there will probably be a setup that would be quite tradable, so you might want to write that date down. That's a date that we're going to be looking to trade. What we do a lot is we look for the setups that are coming in the future that are based upon spatial relationship forecasting or reflected wave. If there's nothing happening today in that market, we just wait for those dates. We at least have something we can say, well, this is a date that we're moving towards. We're not just floating in space. We have something in the future that we can say, this is what we're looking for. This is what we are waiting for, so that we can put another opportunity, another trade on. And so we look at a number of different markets with a lot of different setups, and we just wait for the easiest and the most obvious of those setups. And sometimes you get a whole run of them. Sometimes you get a whole sling of them. I remember we, back on the radio program, back in, it might have been...
Now, is anything like a slew?
It's like a slew.
Okay.
But it's a lot more responsible.
Okay.
So I'm just making note of that. Anyway, back in 2010, when we first came out with the roadmap, we had, I think, 22, 25 roadmaps that we came out with right in a row throughout the remainder of 2010, maybe from April or March forward. And, you know, as every month we'd have a whole number of them. The markets just get into positions where certain methodologies, they give you lots of trades off of that particular setup. And it can be very nice. And, you know, that's the beauty of looking at a lot of different markets, is that one of those markets may be doing the kind of thing that you're looking for, the kind of setup that really flips your switch and gets you engaged and puts you on the track to making trades. And then there's markets that you just look at them and you go, you know, they're doing it, but I just don't, you know, it's just not enough for me to, you know, invest my money. It's just not enough for me to put it all in right now. I don't want to trade. I want to invest with the idea that there's nothing wrong with the concept of trading, but trading seems a little more frivolous to me, a little more like, well, let's just see what happens here. You know, that's just my take on it. But it is, investing to me, at least, is a word that means more to me. And I like to have here's a better way of putting it, an investment quality trade. I'll use the word trade, but I want it to be investment quality if we're going to do the kinds of trades that we show on our statements. And that's the majority of what we do. We're looking for bigger swings, bigger moves that we can know about in advance with a high probability, perceived high probability. And all of it is theoretical, obviously, until the market begins to confirm, et cetera. But, you know, you can use the theoretical to do a lot. You can, that's what we're all doing. We're putting together, we're utilizing technical work in the market and maybe blending in news to put together a high probability trade. And markets can be very tricky at times. There's no question about that. And you have to be ready for that trickiness. It does happen. It has happened in the past, and it will happen again in the future. So you just have to be ready to know. And that's why we always use protection, protective stops, et cetera, to make sure that if the market is tricky, we had a gold forecast a while back for the market to run up. I forgot what the numbers were, but the market did just about everything right. But then right at the last minute, it missed, there was a, whatever, 30-plus point target. It got within 4 points of it and then reversed, and they took them just right down. If a person did not protect themselves, that would have been a winning trade that just turns into a loss for no good reason. It could have very easily, and was for many people who do use stops and move them up and et cetera, it was a good trade. But in other cases, if you don't, you know, expect the unexpected, then you are going to get bit by it at some point. So, and we've been talking about that on this program, all of us have, for, you know, for the whole time the program's been on the air. Which, what, have we been on the air for about 3 weeks now, Dwayne? Something like that? Yeah, Dwayne's not even there. That was a joke. We've been on the air 7 years. So, it's been a long time. Okay, so let's move on. The bond market, don't have anything to add to that today. The euro, we've talked about the euro several times with it trying to put in the monthly bottom. And we're watching that. It's been very quiet, so we're not touching that. The crude oil, as I mentioned over the last week or so, that I felt that crude oil had already put in a bottom and we're going higher. Crude continues to move up higher here in concert with that. It wasn't a difficult call, but trading it, you would have to just be sort of a buy and hold for this because the market continues to run higher here. Now, one level that is important to me in the August crude, this is a closing level, would be about $93 and say 35 cents, somewhere right in that range, 93, 30 to 35, something like that. How the market handles that, today's high was 92, 94, so we're close to that. If we get up to that level and if we have trouble with that level, then I would be interested in perhaps doing something with crude on the short side. But let's let them show us, because they are responding off of a very powerful bottom that I think was put in, as we've mentioned or before on the program. So crude continues up. I told you about September, for the month of September coming up in crude. That's going to be important. I know that's a ways out. Keep that. You might want to write that down. Tesla today, they had a multi-day decline off of the forecast July 16th daily top. The market had two very powerful days down, and now today they're bouncing a little bit. From this point forward for Tesla, you know, daily closes above $31.50 will be the stronger position. Below that, maybe down to as low as $30 and, say, 60 cents would be another place that I might be interested in buying if they pulled back. So we'll see how this lays out. By the way, Tesla is one of the companies that the government did give money to. This is one of the investments in the green energy thing. We were talking about a little earlier about the contradictions with, you know, President making fun of Mitt Romney, or not making fun of him, but, you know, doing the whole play on his business experience. Well, the President of the United States has zero business experience. And not only does he have no business experience, like I said before, he's accumulated, you know, every week there's almost 400,000 people filing for unemployment under his office. For the last 42 months, he's accumulated the largest deficit in the history of America in the shortest period of time. And yet he's going all over the place, you know, beating up Mitt Romney about his business experience. That's a huge contradiction to me. Mr. President, you have no business experience. Why are you running around beating up Mitt Romney's business experience? You don't have any. You know, our president believes that you don't have much to do with your business success. But then, as a contradiction, he goes around and gives $500 billion of all of our money to so-called green companies to prove that the government is what makes business success happen, and the majority of all those companies have all gone out of business. They've all failed. And so there's the government doing what he said it does, is that, you know, you're in business because of what we do and we have. No, the contradiction is that you tried that and none of that works. The government doesn't make this stuff work. Throwing money at something does not just make it a success. Anyway, he's a, like I said before, and I said this yesterday, the top 65%, here's another contradiction. The top 65% of the earners, the top 5% of the earners, excuse me, I don't have the facts in front of me, the top 5% of the country's income earners shoulder 65% of the federal income tax. 65% of all federal income tax is paid by the top 5%. The people that he's going around right now, spending all of his time beating up, saying that they need to pay their fair share.
Now, can I, contradiction number three. Can I throw something at you that you'll totally understand and that 99% of the other folks won't understand only because they've not had the experience? But you
Please.
Will, and it will resonate with you.
Send it on.
You and I have both had business experience where people sat around in rooms and made telephone calls. Have we not shared that experience?
We have shared that experience. You and I actually were born from the same mother, I think. I'm not sure, but there's something freaky going on with you and I, but go ahead.
There was some weird, the egg split, or I don't know what happened. But
I don't know what it was, but...
Did you not find that in any one of those given rooms that 20% of the people made payroll for the other 80%, more or less?
Beautiful point. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We had an afternoon shift where a woman named Jeannie Santa Cruz, and I'm sure she's not listening to this program, this was a woman who single-handedly every week outsold, we listened to her on the phone. We would study her. We could monitor the phone calls. We tried to figure out what Jeannie Santa Cruz was doing to get people to buy from her. She won every, we gave a car to her. We gave cashier's checks, jet skis. She won everything we had to give away consistently. And she would just sell all that stuff and just consider it, you know. We just could not figure out what Jeannie Santa Cruz was doing. We did finally realize that the reason Jeannie Santa Cruz was so successful was because of the government. So that finally put that to rest.
Well, I had a guy who was so head and shoulders above everyone else from a production standpoint.
Yeah, this is your Jeannie Santa Cruz.
That all of my other salesmen said, you know what, this is not fair. We're going to walk because you're just giving him all the good paper.
The good paper, right.
You know? And so this is old school technology going back to like 99 probably. 98, 99, maybe 2000. Ran a splitter off the back of his telephone, drilled a hole in the wall, and passed it through to a little tape recorder on the other side of the wall where the manager sat, and from Radio Shack bought one of those Vox voice-activated switches that would turn the little cassette recorder on every time he would speak. And we let that thing run for like a week. And then I took those tapes and I walked around with a little headset on, and I went through there listening to try to find the scheme, the scam, the whatever. And at the end of the week, I sat down and all the guys that were crying and whining and complaining, I made them listen to probably an hour or better of these random tapes. And what it really came down to more than anything else is that this guy, he was talented, he was skilled, I don't want to take any of that away from him, he had a very unique gift, but above and beyond, but see, most people would take that talent and that gift and they would pee it away. He worked harder than anyone else in the room. As he was writing up an order with his right hand, he was dialing the next phone number with his left hand. And he didn't beat around a bush. He was very direct. He was very to the point. And so these folks were, I mean, that was his secret, really, more than anything else, was the fact that he worked harder. Most guys, they get an order, they want to get up, puff out their chest, strut around, go outside, have a couple smokes, you know, recant the sale, you know, how they nailed it, and, you know, and then wander back in, and then realize, oh my goodness, it's almost lunch. This guy's just sitting there on the phone, just grinding them out, one after the other. And we had these little bells on our desk. Every time we got ready, hit the bell, ding, you know. And his dad was just like being in, it was like being in Vegas standing next to a slot machine. Ding, ding, ding. And everybody's standing around going, this is not possible. They go, I say, it is possible. He's on a phone. You're standing here complaining. You can't ring your bell while you're standing here complaining. So, anyway.
Oh, well, no, that's a great story. And I just want to say a couple things that kind of go along with that. One of them is that in many cases, the people that were very successful salespeople, they themselves are not really aware of what gift they have. They know they can do it, and they see that they're ahead of others, but they're not really sure why. They may think they know why, even, and they may even be wrong about why, but they just have something. They just have some connection, because we work with a number of our top people to try to understand, and each one of them was dramatically different than the other in the way they express themselves, et cetera. And you really, in the end, we just could not say, other than the work ethic, which I think the point you made is very powerful, but the work ethic wasn't everything. They did have some other thing that was transmitting, coming across to people. And I think in many cases, people who have the charisma or the, you know, the special thing that they have, in many cases, it's just there, and they don't know why or how it works. They know it does work, and they can kind of energize it even sometimes, but they couldn't explain much more than that. They can turn it on, but they're not sure really what it is and whatever, because we were really never able to get much out of those people. And it's funny that for in my history, I had a number of people who were tremendous producers in this business that went on to then try to run a company doing that.
And they became the most scandalous human being that ever walked the face of the earth.
Right.
That's exactly how my story ended.
Yeah, so, boy, we could just get together, drink some beer, you know, smoke some of that strange stuff you get in Peru when you take those long trips, and, you know, we could go on and on about this. But these people could not run the business of doing this, and they would become scandalous, just like Dwayne said. But under the proper conditions, they were able to produce very well, you know, when they didn't have anything else going on. They were able to do this thing that they had. And so I think other people in other businesses have tried to study their own top producers. There are some nuggets you can get out of it, but in the end, I think a gift is just there, and some people have it, and some people just have to work harder to do it. And we're all different. We're just different.
So
and
my point is that simply Obama is trying to get the producers to pay the taxes.
He's got the producers paying 65% of all federal income tax now. I wonder what the number would be that would make him happy, because 65% seems like, you know, that classic fair share line. That seems like a pretty fair share. If it was 90, 85%, would he say, well, that's enough? What is enough when they're shouldering 65% of all the federal income tax as it is now, and he's running around? That's what I'm saying. This is one of the big contradictions. He's just a cauldron of contradictions, calling Mitt Romney out to being a felon when he's dealt with felons his whole life. He had a couple of them in his administration, people that were trying to make bombs. He's calling Mitt Romney out on his business experience. He has no business experience. Mitt Romney's had nothing but success. Our president's record has been nothing but failure, but yet he's calling him out on it, you know, on and on and on. One contradiction after another. But charisma will carry the day, and that's what's happening. He just looks cool and sounds good, and he's got that, you know, youthful blink in his eye, and, you know, a lot of people obviously still like President Obama. I could probably hang out with him. He's probably an okay guy. I can't believe for a minute in his policies and his worldview and his what he thinks of how economy should work and that government should be in every – do you want government in every area of your life? Do you, Mr. you know, left, Mr. Far Left, do you really want that? Do you really want government telling you how big your drink can be? And God knows what next they're going to be telling you what you can do and what you can't do and when you can do it. I mean, that's where we're headed when government just keeps expanding.
Yeah, no more four passing. Cheese pizzas either.
What's that?
No more four cheese pizza.
Yeah, no more four cheese pizza.
Maximum
and, you know,
two
the list just goes on and on.
Right.
All right. So I won't hammer you too much. One other thing I do want to mention is that for those of you who trade in the dollar, we don't talk a lot about the dollar. A lot of people think the dollar is going away, and maybe it is. I don't know. But the dollar still is in business, and tomorrow is this is right in that same cycle with the S&P, with the dollar putting in a potential bottom. So that's
what's the symbol
day for
the
dollar? It's, well, you know, our symbol might be different than yours, but it's DX, D like David, X like xylophone,
D
like Edward,
U. DXMQ maybe?
No, DXEU for us, anyway. DXE for electronic and then U2.
Dwayne, use U2.
Say again, Bert?
U2. That's just, second selection.
Just there. Simply DXMU2? Okay.
Yeah, second selection.
Gotcha.
And
thank you,
Bert,
sir.
From Daniel's Trading.
Hi, Bert from Daniel's Trading. Good to have you with
that's
us
his whole name.
On this
yeah.
radio program.
Yeah.
We have to I'm trick in you into coming on. We have to pretend like we don't know the symbols and stuff, and then you
get to get you on.
Yeah.
You have more to give than just symbols, Bert. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving symbols. I'm the symbol
okay.
man.
Simple man. Anyway, so watch the dollar into the – its actual date is July 20th. The S&P is on the 19th. But I like to – for new people, we like to look at different markets and see the same turning points coming up. And it helps confirm for the markets that we're trading in that, yay, there's something really important happening on this date. It's just a backup. It's just another way to put some together. So you might want to keep an eye on the dollar. I know we didn't call it on the program. But people who are listening that know reflected wave, and especially some of them that are institutional traders that we deal with, knew about the live cattle bottom that was due on July 17th. This is a reflected wave bottom. July cattle has had a very powerful advance. Not July, but August cattle has had a very powerful advance. We don't normally talk about cattle. We don't trade it. But it's a great example of reflected wave in motion, calling a bottom that was testing a previous bottom. And so in some ways, we're doing that in the S&P right now with the S&P, you know, moving off of that 76 high level that we talked about yesterday. And then I talked about during our last webinar for Reflected Wave, we forecast that cocoa would make a bottom on July 17th. And cocoa did make a bottom and is now up nicely today as well. This is nothing except reflected wave. There's no other technique or tool that we're using here. It's just merely knowing the date and the turn, and then you can put your own trade together however you want to do it by buying a breakout or buying a pullback. You know, you can use any kind of material to get in, any technique to get into the trade. So cocoa had a pretty nice little pop-up here.
Is this actually, the price? What price do you show on cocoa?
Well, first of all, I'm looking at September cocoa.
Yeah,
so,
I don't even get a reading on it.
Off
Bert,
of. So this is $22.40 or $2.24.
Bert, is there a symbol for cocoa?
Yeah, try.
I got it.
Try that second selection.
CCMU2.
Yeah, CCR.
How about that?
Credence Clearwater Revival.
$22.38. Is that what you got, David, 22.38?
I'm showing 40 right now, but yeah, that's close enough.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now,
actually,
Bert,
and let
this...
me tell you, mine is delayed by 30 minutes, so this is not a market we normally trade, so this is delayed data. So
okay,
yours might be real time.
Mine's real time. So, Bert, this market, this is a type of market where you can get a lot of slippage. Is that right?
Correct. It's not very active. Yeah, expect slippage. Very emotional market. Works a lot on news. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, and I used to trade myself in coffee. Coffee is one of these markets that is, I don't know if they're still this way, but when it was traded off the floor, it's the most efficient way to throw away money I've ever found. It's the coffee market. You can't burn money fast enough.
Well, you can.
It's fast.
Starbucks is probably a street level view of that, because you can burn up some cash pretty quick in a Starbucks.
In Starbucks, yeah. Okay, got to give you that, yeah. No, the coffee market, the fills were terrible. You'd get stopped out, and they'd slip your stop by 3 points, and that's $900. And, you know, it just never ended. It was just, coffee was robbery in progress.
They've cleaned that up a little bit since it's gone electronic, but you know, it's still present.
Average volume looks like around 9,000 contracts a day, with spikes up to 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just noting this because I was making the point in our last webinar, and we do have one today, and I'm going to bring. That's why I'm talking about it. This is a thin market. This is not a big, you know, this is not a market a lot of people trade in cocoa, but yet it was calling for a bottom on that date, and they've had a nice move up from it, and so this is a good example of just that methodology underway. Let's see if there's anything else that we can discuss here. Natural gas also has it's testing some important levels. This, again, is a market. You know, we don't normally trade in this, but it's one of these markets that does have a number of more professional type of traders that trade in it. Natural gas does move. It's thin, it moves, and it's also relatively kind of a precision market. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but it is quite precise in the way that it responds to its own internal energy, so to speak, and meaning that, you know, things produce their own waves. I mean, we call something reflected wave for a reason, and everything that moves through time and space produces its own wave, and it has to deal with that wave. It's very much like the Eastern philosophy of karma, that, you know, you're in this life and you're moving around and you're doing things and you're expressing energy, positive or negative, and this, that, and the other, and you're creating your own wave. And you later, at some point, have to deal with that wave. That's kind of karma and the basic idea of it. And the markets express a form, in my opinion, of karma. They move through time and space. They express energy, positive or negative. And they later have to deal with that. And spatial relationship forecasting, the roadmaps and that sort of thing, are very heavily based upon the idea that there's something in the future that can be tracked that is going to connect with the present at some point in the future. And when it does, it's going to mean this. You know, that's a good example for the crude oil. Crude's going to go down big in May and going to touch $88. Why? Because if we, you know, and we don't know everything, obviously, we just know what we know, and our best interpretation of it is that there really is a force that's there. It's theoretical, but it does make a huge difference in markets. It does make them move. And so we treat the force as something very real. And I think in many ways, the same thing that we see that happens in markets happens in people's lives, that, things in the future. And listen, it's not something to be afraid of, because you, in knowing yourself and being able to live your life and deal with things and be in contact with your nature, you can deal with things that life brings up, whether they're positive or negative. And, you know, you probably, and I have as well, have marveled at some people who are very adept, even very natural, without even having to work at it. They deal with situations, even bad situations, in a really good way. They somehow diffuse them and deal with them much better than myself or yourself might do. And I've learned over the years that there really is a different way of interacting with the future that then becomes the present, whatever energy that is, there's a much better way, or can be a much better way, than the way that you or I might presently be doing it. It doesn't have to be the same old thing with you banging your head into something. You know, it's like, what's the form of fighting? Is it judo or one of those fights where you use your opponent's energy against him? You know, he comes at you with strong negative energy,
judo,
with the form of a fist. What's that?
Judo.
Is that what it is, judo?
I think.
Then you use his energy against him. You're going to use that follow-through energy, and you're going to pull him in the same direction, Aikido or one of those. And it's kind of like that with life. You know, instead of banging your head against the thing that's hitting you, you can go in the direction of that energy and actually come in contact with it. You're no longer resisting it. You're no longer fighting it. You're actually now sort of in contact with it. You've taken off the shield, and suddenly being in contact with it, even though it's a negative thing, tells you a story about it that you couldn't have possibly known while you were fighting it. And so that's the beauty of it, is that, hey, you get some inside information on the negative, on what you call bad, by not resisting it. Christ himself said, resist not evil. What do you think he might have been referring to when he said that? He said that to his disciples. And by the way, you are one of his 12 disciples, and don't let anybody tell you different.
Okay. I don't remember him saying, resist not evil. Where did he say that?
I don't have the biblical passage in front of me, but it's in there.
I mean, it must be worded a little bit differently about it.
Maybe it's the King James version or the Chainsmokers Concordance. I don't know which one it is.
Maybe turn the other cheek.
No, but that's another example of it. But I'll find it for you, Duane. I'll look it up.
Let's see. Bonhoeffer talked about it. I'm just trying to figure out. As fire destroys itself, so evil is its own destruction. Why is it said, do not resist evil? Because resistance gives life to evil. Non-resistance lets it burn itself out.
And there you are. That would be...
Now, that's someone's interpretation of that.
Sure.
I'm just trying to track down the...
The actual passage, right.
The actual passage, right.
Well, and you go ahead and do that.
I understand the concept there.
Yeah. You just get in contact with this thing that you used to say, I better resist this, I better stay away from this.
In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 40, we read, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also.
Mm-hmm.
For many people, Christianity has come to hinge on this, an impractical ideal, though they may regard it, and fall far short of it in their own lives, as they may do. This is, they believe, what being a Christian is all about. A Christian should turn the other cheek, and so it is thought, offer no resistance when an evil is done to you. Okay.
There you are.
So that's Matthew, Gospel, chapter 5, verses 38 through 40.
Okay. Well, fair enough. And in my... explanation or my talking about it, it's just that you are able to see something that you never have seen before about this thing that you're resisting, because you've now stopped resisting it, and therefore you come in actual contact with it, as opposed to having a shield up and trying to battle it and fight it away. And in coming in contact with it, you now are getting new information, and you're able to actually do something different. This is real intelligence at work. This isn't just putting up the shield and fighting. This is real intelligence. You have an inside scoop now because you're in contact with the bad, so to speak, where we're always fighting it. And then suddenly now you can make new, better decisions. You have some. You're actually working with it in a kind of a funny way, a strange way. You're working with this thing that you were resisting, and now you know how to let it burn itself out. You know how to not let it cause any more grief. You know, you're in contact with it, and that gives you new insight, as opposed to constantly resisting the bad things, the so-called bad things in life. So I forgot how we got on that, but it's a big thing with me, obviously. I can't remember how we got onto it, though. But, yeah, that was, I was just mentioning, you know, you make your own interpretation, but it's in the Bible, the term resist not evil, and that's the subject that I was bringing up here. Now, as we've been talking, the S&P has begun its, I think we could say, relatively speaking, expected decline or initial decline off of 76. And, again,
we've begun our descent from 76. Please return your trade to the upright position, or how does that
work? Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so this is an important, because the day is moving on and we're starting to show some early signs of the July 19th top potentially being underway. So aggressive people would perhaps take note of this. And I think Bert had something that he had sent out this morning on the July 19th top and may already be in this. I don't know. But Bert doesn't say much on the radio anymore unless it has to do with giving symbols out.
He didn't email me nothing.
I got something. I don't know. We got something in the mail. He did something with it.
How do I get in your secret club, man? I need to fill out a form or...
There's probably some form.
Like a pledge or handshake or...
So I think that's basically it. I think the big thing is for the S&P right now, and we'll, if we, over the next hour or so, if we kind of firm up at the 67 level or slightly lower, we might even take an intraday long position against this for a bounce. But other than that, keep in mind the bigger picture for the July 19th top. So that's about it, Dwayne. I think that's everything I have for you today, and I don't know if Robin is still there, but...
She is. She's been awfully quiet, but
I'm here. I'm intently listening to you guys. I'm also really intrigued about this GSA spending in Las Vegas, of spending $823,000 in the GSA scandal. I just have such a problem with the way the economy is, that these people in the government can have any kind of conscience and do this kind of stuff and think it's okay. I just don't understand. What's wrong with them?
Well, there's just a lot of fun to spend other people's money. It's like finding a treasure trove. They just have it there, and they're going to have a nice little time with it. It has nothing to do with conscience. They're just having a great old time.
It's amazing to me. It's really amazing to me. $5,600 for three semi-private in-room parties, light refreshments for $79,000. I mean, just team-building experiences for $75,000, and they didn't even invite me to do it. I could have done the team-building and dinner for half the price. Yeah, T-shirts, water bottles, tuxedos. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And this is under the watch of who? You know, it's under the watch of who?
The people that are supposed to be watching all the other agencies and making sure that they're doing the right thing. That's our government.
Yeah, I mean, this is the good stuff. Can you imagine the bad stuff, you know, like the Medicare fraud and all that that's going on that they haven't even gotten to? I mean, that's the stuff they can really clamp down on and become heroes in all sorts of different directions that could even help themselves. But it just is amazing to me.
Team building exercises. I can't help but crack up when I hear that crap. How about go do your job or I'm going to fire you? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, let's all go into a room and let's fall backwards into the other one's arms so that we trust each other. Better yet, let's put on loincloths and go sit in the jungle and bang a drum. Or, you know, how about you're being paid to do a job, go do your job, do it well, or I'll fire you and hire somebody who will.
That's right.
I don't know.
It was the old days.
It's just very gay to me, and I mean that, you know, in a good way. So
it's so sad. It is so sad. I mean, logic has just gone right out the window. I get so annoyed. I almost want to go into politics, but I'm so afraid to become like any one of them, because it seems like everybody that has a really good intention to run for an office, because they are ticked off, they get in there and they realize that they can't do anything, and they have to fall prey to this kind of crazy manipulation.
Politics has destroyed more people than crack cocaine and all
exactly.
the other drugs.
Exactly. There you go.
With
and,
that,
and it was
that
probably more
note.
Expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more expensive.
And we paid for it. I know, we did. I'd like to invite anybody who would like to come today to our Reflected Wave webinar, which is today at 1:30, 15 minutes after the market closes, 3:30 Chicago time, 4:30 Eastern time. And come over, and we'll show you the Reflected Wave methodology. We have a seminar coming up October 6th and 7th of this year at the Mirage Hotel here in Las Vegas. And we'll talk about what we're going to teach and how this works at the webinar today. So we'd really like to have you come. If you're available, you can click on our link. You go to pagetrader.com, and when you're there, click on the Trader's blog on the right-hand side. And that'll take you to the link, and the link will click you right into, you just log in, and you'll be good to go for this afternoon. Even if you've come many times and just are watching, we're going to make some other forecasts on some other things today. And Bert Schlichter from Daniel's Trading, that's his whole name, he'll be there as well. And we'll talk about the subject matter and see if it's something that you think would be useful in your trading. I certainly have to tell you it's been very useful in my trading, and I've demonstrated over 1,000 turning points over the last 7 years on this radio program, lots and lots of turns, utilizing this one technique. So, and with that, Dwayne, as always, it's been fun on the show. Robin, I'm planning on seeing you for lunch tomorrow, Robin, so don't you try to wriggle out of that.
1:15.
Mm-hmm. You can do some counseling with me.
Okay, I'm going to put the link in the chat room right now. Hang on.
And I'm going to give, while
Thank
you're
you.
Doing that, I'm going to do my quote for the day. Lots of people ride, lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. Take a guess who that was.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Oprah Winfrey.
Mm.
That's an interesting tell-all quote.
Mm-hmm. There's one of my favorite things.
One little short one here. Light tomorrow with today. Light tomorrow with today.
Oh, light. Okay, I got you. Light.
L-I-G-H-T.
Hmm. Well.
And that was by Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
I like the one that says, from your own candle, you can light 1,000 other candles, and you never diminish the brightness of your own candle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
You, in fact, light up the world.
Who said that?
Well, I did.
That was back in my I love that.
That was back in my shaved head and wooden bowl days.
Oh, I love that.
No, I didn't. I paraphrased that poorly from someone important who actually said it. I don't know who.
You're important, Dwayne.
Thank you, David. If it wasn't for you reminding me of that on an occasional, very occasional basis. Yeah.
May I do a little description of those people that do sign up for memberships? On what the coaching thing will be. What I'm putting together is a series of questions for those people who sign up for a membership, and they get a half-hour coaching session so that they will be able to target the areas within their trading on the emotional side that they need to work on. So it's like an evaluation of where you are and what's going on. So that's part of what you get now.
It is part of what you get, and I've got to get you in the loop so that as those come through.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll figure that out. Well, David, have a great webinar this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Dwayne. A pleasure being here. Robin, nice to chat with you. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. I'll be back here tomorrow. And we're at a pretty important spot here. It should be pretty interesting over the next several days. So
okay.
I'll see you then.
Yes. Have a great afternoon.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Dwayne, Bert, and Michael, and David, have a wonderful day.
Guys, go visit Robin at robindayne.com. That's RobinDayne.com. A lot of information on her site. Links to. Do you have a link there yet to your upcoming webinar on Daniel's Trading?
No, it should go up today. I've got the web person coming at 12.
Okay, and then once you get it up, I'll put it up over on our site.
Yes. Yes.
All right, guys. Jonathan typed into the chat room, it's better to stay silent and be thought wise than speak and be exposed as a fool. Very wisely said. And again, I'd like to extend my thanks to Jonathan. When I had a small, personal, real-life emergency on my hands the other day, he actually showed up and offered to help. It's in times of trouble and crisis and stuff when you find out who's who and what's what. Sometimes. I mean, I realize there's many of you around the country and around the world that would have gladly, you know, rushed over to help. But, you know, distance is a factor. But locally, Jonathan said, hey, can I come help? And I go, well, yeah, you know, if you want. And he was actually there. Then he had to leave, and then he called later and said, you need me to come back. And we were working in the heat. It was like 110 degrees, and it was stinky, and there was water all over the floor. And he was just there with a big old smile. How can I help? So I appreciate you, man. I really do. Okay, we're going to wrap it up, guys. We're now closing in on, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 hours. 28 hours that we've been tied up in this zone. Around the zone, I mean. I mean, I'll stretch it out. I'll give it full benefit of the doubt. That's the lowest low and the highest high. So what's that, 64 up to 75? So fair enough, 10-point range, but for 28 hours, with the majority of the action concentrated here at the 70-71. That is, you can visually, you can just see that's the center of gravity, just as it looked like the market was going to take off. Just when we thought we were out, they pulled us back in. Now, where are we at? Remember, we started the show out saying we're dead in the right in the middle of the zone? Well, we're two ticks below it now at 69.50. That's not typical. That's not typical. I showed you this earlier in the show. Let me find it again. You log out and switch over. Now, this is on the blog, so you can go have a peek at it yourself once I get it loaded up here. See, this is all of last week. See how you get a little bit of bunching up, and then you make a move, you come back, you test the zone, and you go, you bunch up a little bit for a couple of hours, and you make your move, hey, a couple hours, and so this is not this. So what's my point? That's just my point. That until we break this and make a move higher, or break this, I see we could come back down here, we could test this thing for a while, and we could continue to test this high up here. We got a little double top up here, but we don't have a double bottom in down here. How do you know when it's broken loose? After the fact. It's kind of the truth of the matter. I know you'd rather me tell you something more meaningful, but that's just really the truth of the matter, the crux of the apostrophe, if you will. I will take a quick minute, and I haven't done this in a while. I haven't made any of these videos in ages. I'll just roll this back, see how far it goes. Okay. What these yellow arrows represent is every time the price, okay, the MA1 is above the BVC, when it pulls back to the BVC, that's a trade entry to the tick. What happens is this green MA1 lights up a green box over here. Let me just show you. Let me find price. See how the the BBC has 1370? See, that's giving you your entry. Sell that short to the tick, okay? So, now let me just walk you back through whatever I got here. Okay, here's a pullback entry to go long. How far did that thing go? Went from 1340 up to 1348. It's an 8-point move. And then there was another pullback entry right here that went from 1344 all the way up to 1353. And then along the way, you know, if you were just looking to take smaller moves out of the market, there's a pullback entry there. There's another one there. And one there. And then another one there. And we designed this to be very visual, so you don't have to go, you know, worrying yourself to death trying to figure it out where it's at. I mean, it just tells you right to the tick where the trade is. Now that the MA1 has gotten below the green BBC, when this happened, this box over here was lit up like a Christmas tree, and it was saying you need to sell 1349.50, market if touched. And it was, there was no ambiguity, there was no question. I mean, the only ambiguity, you could say, well, I don't want to take this trade. Well, okay, that's fine, you don't have to. Or you can go, there's the setup, I've watched it over and over, I know it has a high probability of success, I'm going to take the trade. Okay, so if you took the trade at 49.50, then that thing dropped to 46. That's 3.5 points. And then it did it again. And this time it pushed all the way down from, roughly 48 to 43. So that's a 5-point move. Now, on this pullback here, if you shorted this into a zone, which we would never teach you to do, you get stopped out of that trade. But if you bought this pullback right here, where the system tells you the entry price to the tick, it went from 47.50 up to 52.25. So I don't know, about 5 points. If you bought this pullback, you got stopped out. Here, I have to say, this looks like a valid short setup, and it certainly did trade lower. But based on our rule set, there was no space right there. Okay? So this would have, although it worked out very well, got to go. If you're going to have rules, you got to use them. One tick of space right there would have made this a valid entry, but because there was not one tick of space in there, then can't count it as a valid trade. So that's just one that got away. This one here, it gave up a little something. Doesn't look like it gave up much. The entry on it would have been 1348, and it dropped to 46.50, so it traveled a point and a half. Over here, next valid entry would have been here. Got stopped out. This is if you're not using any other kind of filter, you're not using the cycle or any of the other tools that we offer to filter these trades. This is just using the most basic part of the setup without any of the refinements. Okay, and then the same entry right here. That entry was at 1348.25, and it dropped to 46. So that traveled 2.25 points. Here, you don't have a clear signal. Here, you have a clear opportunity to buy. You know exactly what price to put your order on at. And that price goes from 1352 up to 56.25. So nice 4-point trade. Now here, okay, there is 2 points, barely, between the entry and the weekly trading zone. So you might have said, since there's 2 points, I'll go ahead and take it. If you did, you got stopped out. But you never get stopped out for more than 2 points, because we never risk more than 2 points on these trades. This pullback entry right here, this is the exact same trade over and over and over. Okay, this entry would have been 1353.50. No, that's not right. 1352 would have been the entry. Nope, that's not right either, is it? Yeah, I guess it is. 52 would have been the entry, and it dropped down to 45. So that's a 7-point move. Another pullback entry to 47.50. And it dropped to 45.50. So it traveled 2 points. If you sold it here, it dropped from 46, down to 40. It dropped a little further, but call it 40. That was a 6-point move. If you sold it over here, you got stopped out. If you bought it here at 44 and a quarter, you can see it went straight up to the zone at 56. So from 44 to 56, is that 8 points? And then it pulled back, gave you another entry, and went from 53.25 up to 59.50. So about a 6-point move. And then here, this move up was good for at least a couple points. This move here was good for hardly anything, maybe 1 point. Should probably just call that a stop. Stop it right out. Keep it real. Now, across here, there were no valid setups. If you want to know why those weren't valid, come to the live trading room, become a partner, we'll teach you. Okay, this pullback entry here at, we'll call it 56, dropped down to 53, so that was a 3-point move, 56 to 53, and then this pullback here was at 55, and it dropped down to 52.50, so that traveled 2.5 points. If you sold that, you got stopped out. Then it puts on a rally, and if you got long here at 1362.50. It went up to 66. So from 6250 to 66, we'll call that 4 points. And then another entry here at 65. And that went up to 67.5. So there's 2.5 points. Another pullback entry right there at 66.25, and that went up to 70.5, so 4-point move. On this one here, we would not have bought that going into a zone, but we would have sold this right here at 67.75, and it dropped to 63.75, so that 4-point drop. If you sold this, you got stopped out. If you bought this at 67.25, it took a while, but it ran up 3.5 points. Then it pulled back, gave another entry. Would you buy it going into the zone? Maybe you wouldn't. You can see that the trade did travel. Over here, it traveled exactly 2 points. And then here, you would not short it into the zone. Over here, there's not a trade setup based on the rules. And over here, this short trade would take you from 1371 down to 1366. That's a 4-point move. And if you sold this, and this could have been a close, with a 2-point stop, you shouldn't have got stopped out. This might be the one Michael got stopped out onto the tick. I don't know. So I'll throw a question mark on that one. Seems like he might have got stopped out on that one this morning, but he might have got stopped out because he adjusted his risk. Okay. All right. Now we're coming back long right into the zone. So not good. However, this one, we've already gotten above the zone. And so this is a textbook valid entry. Okay, be buying 71 on the pullback. And the first move goes to 73. Then it comes back to 71 again. So there was a 2-point move followed by a 71 up to 75, followed by, 76. So from 71 to 76, that was a 5-point move. And then if you bought this pullback here, you got stopped out. Actually, that X should have been right there. Okay, and then not a valid short entry here because we didn't have the space required for there to be a setup. And now we have a valid short entry right here. Okay. The entry would have been, when this thing triggered back here, would have been 1370 and a quarter. And you're already at 69 and a quarter. But if you had to tick a slip on a market of touch, you got about 3 ticks in the trade so far. Once price gets below the MA1, then the anticipation is that it will go to this swing low. And if it gets through that swing low, then it'll get to this swing low. And you just keep looking left for swing lows. With the bigger idea that it's going to do what it's been trying to do since yesterday, and that's travel back to the 56.57. Okay? And you see how quickly I walked through all of those trades? I mean, I went back, let's see, today's Thursday. So I went through Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Did I do Monday? I did Monday. And I did Friday. And I did part of last Thursday. Okay. Now that's on the 24-hour clock, not just the day session. I walked you through every single trade setup. The ones that traveled, and the ones that got stopped out. I didn't use any additional filters. I didn't use the cycle. I didn't use the bias. I didn't use the slingshot. I didn't use any of those other tools. Are those all good tools? They are. If you become a partner, do you own those tools for life? You do. Do we spend 3 months plus teaching you how to use them? Yes. Are there 175 hours of training videos available that show you how to use them and all the little nuances? Yes. But most importantly, I want you to just focus on this part up here and how visual the whole thing is. Are you racking your brain? Are you looking at 19 different things? Are you trying to figure out the trend and the trend? And all those other things, I mean, you're trading the S&P 500, but you got to go look at the New York Stock Exchange. You got to read the tick. You got to know this. I don't know. You know, if that's working for you, then good Lord, do it. Whatever's working, then just do it. Okay? If it's not working, then you need to either take the free trial, and if you've already done that, it's time to become a partner and learn how to put this to work for you. You see, that's a problem right there, is people try to catch every one of these moves. Okay? That's, I think, the wrong approach. Now you got to decide what's right for you, okay? But this one move, it's all you need. That's a day maker right there, okay? This move right here, a day maker. This move right here, it's a couple day maker, okay? If you're long this thing at 71, and it gets up to 76, but you're not that clever, so you only take 4 points out of it. Well, what's 4 points? If you're trading one contract, it's $200. If you're trading 10 contracts, it's $2,000. But before you worry about how many contracts you're going to trade, focus first on the 2 points a day. That's what's important. That's what's critical. Can you make a living getting 5 points, 10 points, and 20 points out of a trade? Sure. Is it easier to get 2 points out of a trade than it is to get 5 or 10? Well, here's the proof right here. I mean, it's all right there. Well, you know, that seems like scalping, and I don't want to be a scalper. I want to get the big moves. I want to make the big money. Okay, so a 2 point move or a 4 point move on one contract, what did we say that was worth? 200? Yeah. If you're trading 10 contracts on a 4 point move, that's $4,000 a day. But that's 4 points, and I'm saying 2 points. I'm saying 2 points. So you have to determine what's right for you. You have to understand your own risk profile, the depth of your account. You need to answer a lot of questions before you start putting real money at work trading in the markets. It's that simple. Okay? This all looks very nice, and it all looks very easy, and it all looks very simple. But trust me, in real time, as it unfolds, it's not as easy as it looks. Trading is risky. You can lose your money. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything different. Does this pan out over and over and over? Yes. Why? Because it embraces the underlying rhythm of the market. Period. No, not blowing any smoke up your chimney, just telling you a fundamental truth about trading. If you would like to learn more, come take the free trial. If you've already gone through your free trial, we do have a partners meeting tonight, and you do have to be a partner to come to the meeting. So if you would like to become a partner, send an email to support@cfrn.net. That's cfrn.net. We'll send you the necessary paperwork, and you can get that paperwork back to us today before the partners meeting, and you can actually be in the partners meeting with us tonight. And you'll be in the live trading room tomorrow morning as a full-blown CFRM partner. Bruce says it's easier to get into a bad trade than a good trade. Well, let's see. We put arrows on the good ones and we put X's on the bad ones, right? So let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. That's as far back as we went. So we had 33 trades that produced minimum of 1 point. Almost every one of them produced at least 2 points, and the majority of them produced more than 2 points. So how many were just stone cold perfect setups but you still got stopped out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah, so there were 9 that you were just dead in the water. No shot at making any money whatsoever versus whatever number of positive ones I counted across there. So again, I'll never tell you that it's easy. I'll tell you that it can be simple. One of the problems is our brain works so hard that we turn the simple thing into the difficult thing. Like this one right here, okay? This was a perfect setup to be short. It looks like it's going to end up being one of those big X's right there. Okay, now, it's not over yet. It's not stopped out yet. It's got about a tick of drawdown. Yeah, no, Bruce, no, I know you weren't being pointed with that question. In fact, I agree with you overall that that is exactly how it seems. It's easier to stumble into a setup that doesn't work out than to stumble into one that does. That's why you look for a high probability setup over a large enough sample size where you can throw caution to the wind and say, I don't have to be concerned about trade-by-trade results, because over the long haul, I know that the odds are in my favor. And really, that's what it comes down to. It is a game of numbers. It's about odds, percentages, high probability setups. What it's not about, and I think this is where a lot of people get discouraged, dismayed, lost, disconnected, it's not about predicting the future. As long as you try to predict the future, you're going to experience pain, okay, and lots of it. Stop trying to predict the future. Find a setup that has a high probability of success over a large sample size, and then put it to work. And Mr. Welltrade, could you please upload today's radio recording? Mr. Welltrade, I do upload the radio program every day. Occasionally, I don't get it uploaded until the next day. But I do try, I strive to get it I'm trying to read through some of the questions. I love people that make a comment and then they bail before you get a chance to answer. That's no fun. When stopped out or not because it went lower and you call it for a profit? No, not at all. If I was stopped out, why would I call it for a profit, Bart? That would make no sense at all. So, I don't know what you're referring to. I tried to make this as pretty easy to understand as humanly possible. That's a profitable trade. That's a profitable trade. That's a trade that got stopped out. And this setup here, this setup right here, that entry has now backtracked, let's see, 70, 50 would have been the entry. Okay, so 70, 50 would have been the entry. That's 72, like two more ticks, and that's going to be a stop right there. That's going to that entry that I highlighted, unless it starts to drop pretty quick, it's going to get stopped out. What does that mean in the grand scheme of things? Absolutely nothing. It's just another trade. Now, the question is it going to go up? Because the entry was 70.50. If that's correct. Might have been 70 and a quarter. So it only needs to go to 72 and a quarter to get stopped out. And it did. See, it already went to 72 and a quarter. So there you go. Stopped out. I'm always going to call, if it's stopped out, I'm just going to, that's how I'm going to paint it. I'm not going to try to make it anything other than what it is. And a question from Arthur, do you use NinjaTrader? No, Arthur, we don't use NinjaTrader. All of our indicators are created and designed specifically for use with the DT Pro platform, which when you take a free trial with us, you have the opportunity to download the platform, the indicators, you get live real-time data, you get everything we have to offer for a full week. If you want to get started, go to cfrn.net/apply or call Bert and Leslie toll-free 866-928-3310. I'm going to type that into the chat box for you. 866-928-3310. They will be happy to walk you through the process of getting everything set up, getting your charts going, getting your indicators indicating, your data flowing, whatever it is that you need. They are there to help you, and they're happy to do so. And when you call, they actually answer the phone, and they're ready to help you. All right. If you guys have any questions, email them, support@cfrn.net. Partners, I'll see you tonight in the partners meeting. And to the rest of you, whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.